on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
She's
oh, she's
dead.
Dead.
Dead. Merci. Si j'ai
some of your Saturday afternoon with Spencer Carter and the Weekend Wind-Up. Great pop music, forgotten classics, and some laughs along the way. Every Saturday from midday, only on Phoenix FM.
Good afternoon. As I said, welcome to the Weekend Wind-Up. How you doing? Good to be with you today. With you now until 3 o'clock with the Weekend Wind-Up. So why not get in touch? Snuggle in the warm and drop me an email. Radio at phoenixfm.com. Come and say hi. As usual, got a great show for you today. Some really good music. Bit of an anthem and cover from another. And I've also got some special guests in today as well. Looking forward to meeting the guys from Early Doors Productions. They're going to be in just after one today, talking about their forthcoming production of Sleepy Hollow. And talking all things local theatre and the importance of local theatre as it starts to get back to normal. I have to say, driving in today, there was certainly no social distancing anywhere. It was packed out on the roads today. But do get in touch anyway. If you want a request played or a shout-out or a celebrating something, just let me know. You've got the email address or on social media as well. At Spen Phoenix on Twitter. The Weekend Wind-Up. I forgot where I was then. The Weekend Wind-Up on Instagram and Facebook, etc. Do get in touch. Good to hear from you. And as I said, got some great new music for you today. We've updated our A-list, so we've got some new tracks on there. And this next one is one of those. This is the rather impressive new track from Mr. Ollie Alexander. Years and Years. This is Crave.
Thing said that you do me no harm. Now it's what I want. Give me what I ask for. Gone too far for love to remain. How can I adore ya when your body drives me insane?
The highest standards of residential and dementia care. Residents can also enjoy our range of inclusive services and varied dining options as part of our wellbeing programme. See for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home. Hutton View, a Hallmark care home.
Set in the heart of Brentwood's beautiful woodland, Hartswood Golf Club is the council's jewel in the crown. With our tree-lined fairways and eye-catching course features, both new and old, Hartswood offers something for golfers of all levels. To book a tee time, give us a call on Brentwood 214 830 or visit the Brentwood Borough Council website for more details. Hartswood Golf Club, Brentwood's hidden gem.
These days, sustainable business really does make sense. Ensuring your business is running as efficiently as possible, saving money on energy bills, lowering its carbon footprint. It's a great place to start. And if we told you your business could qualify for a low-case grant of up to £10,000 without payback to help it grow and grow greener, would you want to miss out? Register your business interest today. www.lowcase.co.uk. Grant funding for greener business growth.
Standing here in an empty room, I saw you there and my blood ran cold. Take me back to the long September, don't know how I ever let you go. I was young, didn't know about love, you were wild, couldn't get enough. Gave my heart to another lover, don't know how I ever let you go. Find me none other place and time, if only you.
por mucho que digas. Además puedo ver en tus ojos que no solo quieres quedar como amigos.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Yeah, thanks to everyone who's been getting in touch already today. Really appreciate it. And I want to give a shout out to Lucy. Lucy's one of the regular listeners. She messaged in and said she's woke up today feeling like she wants an 80s day. Lots of 80s music and lots of big ballads and big rock numbers to rock out to. So I don't know what's going on with you, Lucy, today, but sounds quite fabulous to me. I've decided to play this for you. It's probably not a song you was expecting from the 80s, but this is I've forgotten how good this, well, good stroke bad this is. Whatever you're doing, hope you enjoy it.
Get to you. a sunny afternoon. Night to night.
Phoenix FM Travel News in association with Brentwood Care Centre, where our family cares for your family.
Okay, I've got your first travel update of the day today, Rose, and not looking too bad, actually. On the A128, there is a broken down vehicle causing some congestion as you go through to the junction to Hog Lane, so be mindful of that. The B186, there is a build-up of traffic around the station area. I think that's due to the temporary traffic lights, so just avoid the area if you can. On the A12, there's a slight delay as you leave the Brook Street roundabout heading towards Chelmsford, just a build-up of traffic, nothing major. All major roads are looking okay at the moment. There is a delay on the Queen Elizabeth Bridge into Kent, but that's just down to poor weather, apparently. And there are the ongoing roadworks on the A13, as usual, between the Allsitcock and the Stanford Lee Hope turn-off. On the public transport network, services running fine on Greater Anglia Network and C2C, also Docklands Light Railway. And there's only minor delays on the Circle Line and the Waterloo and City Line. So all in all, not too bad at the moment at all, but I'll keep you updated each and every hour.
Phoenix FM Travel News, in association with Brentwood Care Centre, delivering residential, dementia and nursing care to your loved ones. Call us on 01277 508 459. Brentwood Care Centre, where our family cares for your family.
Yeah, this next track came in, request from Tony listening in. Said he hasn't heard this for a while. Could I play this? Absolute pleasure. This is a classic. Hope you enjoy it, my friend.
When we all gather down at the bank of the Soul River.
What a tune. Young Disciples, apparently nothing. Now, I want to give a shout out to some people. Regular listeners messaging. Thanks, guys. Sarah's got in touch, saying we're staying indoors today. We were planning to go out and about, but we're staying indoors, and we decided to listen to some tunes and just potter about. What a perfect day. Absolutely. Miserable weather today, isn't it? Absolutely. So just have a great time, whatever you're doing. And also a shout out to Eddie, who messaged in to say, out and about in the van today as usual, doing my usual deliveries, but listening in and loving the tunes all morning. Superb. Yeah, Frankie before me played some great tracks, didn't she? Real good dance stuff. Love that. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, mate. We appreciate that. And Sarah has also messaged in to say, enjoying the music today, going out, doing a bit of shopping later, but we'll be going out about 1:30, so we're hoping to catch most of the show. And absolutely, just a reminder, I do have coming in Amy, Darren and Justin from Early Doors Productions. They will be in on air around 1:15, hopefully. And then we'll be in talking about their forthcoming production of Sleepy Hollow and all things local theatre. So do check them out. They've been in before, great bunch of guys, and they've always put on really quality productions. So, yeah, highly recommend you tune in and listen to what they've got to say today.
Diamonds.
course, Prince there, Diamonds and Pearls. Still sounding as good today as when it first came out, isn't it? Love it. And that album is awesome. If you do get a chance to revisit it, please do. Such a good album. Now, moving things around a bit slightly today, because I've got guests coming in. So, now it's time for today's Danny's Choice. Danny has picked a corker this week. He doesn't often pick duff ones, does he, to be fair? But he has picked one of my all-time favourite. I do apologise, my phone going off there. And I should know better than that. And he's picked one of my all-time favourite male artists that I often play. And when I'm talking about cover versions, I always say that this guy has done the best cover version I have ever heard of Say Hello, Wave Goodbye by Soft Cell. It's, you know what I mean now, it's Mr. David Gray. So thanks, Dan, for today's choice. Really like this. This is, David Gray, the one I love.
Gonna close my eyes, girl, and watch you go. Running through this life, darling, like I feel the snow. Is the tracer glad? And it's graceful art. Send a little prayer out to you across the falling down. Tell the reaper man and the stars above that you're the one I love. Yeah. Perfect summer's night. We'll be right back.
ready for the ultimate muddy obstacle challenge, guaranteed to get your adrenaline pumping. Nuclear Races brings you Mission Mud on Saturday the 10th of October in support of St. Francis Hospice. Places are limited, so don't miss out. For more information, go to sfh.org.uk and search for Mission Mud. sfh.org.uk, search Mission Mud and get involved.
My car. Up in the passenger seat and strap in for a high five on Drive. Join in the fun with our never-ending story, my world-famous poetry podcast, great music, top guests and local travel reports.
Well done! Well done!
So join me, Stuart Pick, weekdays 3 till 6 on Phoenix FM Drive in association with St. Francis Hospice.
Out of my dreams.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
Yeah, I don't know if you managed to catch up with the TV last night, but if you watched Stand Up To Cancer on Channel 4, I thought they did a really good job this year, didn't they? Obviously, last year it was really affected by the pandemic, so there was no live audience, etc. But they pulled it together again this year, and if you did watch it, I found it quite moving, as you would expect anyway, but they kind of... You know, they did sort of tributes to people like Sarah Harding and I can't think who else they did. But it was just kind of hit home, really, the amount of people we've lost this year for this really, really dreadful cause. And obviously, yesterday, we were all saddened by the news of what happened in Southend, which has had a major impact, I think, on the media and stuff today. It's good to see people pulling together, no matter what sides of the party they're on, I think. In condemnation for what happened. So, it was just shocking, really, wasn't it? Did you also get a chance yesterday? So, moving swiftly on to TV that's coming up. So, they're about to announce the lineup for this year's I'm a Celebrity. Looking forward to that. Apparently, it's going to be released this weekend. They'll start leaking it out. So, there are lots of rumours about who's going in, but apparently, they've pulled out a stellar lineup this year, which will be interesting to see. So if you've got any thoughts on who's going to be in there, do drop me a line, let me know. And it'll be interesting to see, wouldn't it? I know we have a bet on this every year, don't we, I think, and find out who's going in. So I hope there's some big personalities this time, because it's still in Wales again, isn't it? So we've kind of lost that effect of the jungle. But yeah. And also, have you seen the trailer for the new Doctor Who series? So that came out this week as well, called Doctor Who Flux, 6 episodes. A story arc between them all. So it's like, apparently Jodie Whittaker has said that it's like a 6-hour film. So it's continually building up each episode until, I can't even speak today. What's the matter with me? Until the Christmas episode, and then the special next year when she regenerates into the new Doctor. Lots of rumours again about who that new person will be as well. So do you think it's going to be another woman, or are we going back to a man? Who knows, eh? That's the exciting thing. But if you've got any ideas about I'm a Celebrity, do get in touch. It'd be interesting to know your thoughts on who you think's going in.
that vague and distant void, where the sunlight splits the eye. Life is cruel, life is tough, life is crazy, then it all turns to dust.
There we go, the first new music there from Tears for Fears in over 20, I think it's 24, 25 years. That's the brand new one, The Tipping Point, new album coming out from then in time for Christmas, and a major UK tour announced for next year as well. Back with the bang, the boys are. Do check them out, and if you get a chance to check out their back catalogue, well worth it. Some really good tracks on there. Now, I'm really pleased to say my guests have arrived for today, so they will be with you after the news. We'll do the travel and the weather, and then we'll be live on air with them. So remember, we've got Darren, we've got Justin, we've got Amy from Early Doors here to talk about Sleepy Hollow, all things local theatre, and lots of exciting stuff. So make sure you stay tuned. Now, big shout out to Tim. Tim's messaging asking me, can I play something by David Byrne? Absolutely. Always loving this. This is a track that never gets old.
Lazy as a man can be.
There we go, David Byrne there, we're lazy. So we're just heading out towards the news. Then after the news, I will have your weather and latest travel reports. And then we'll be with my special guest. So just to remind you, Early Doors Productions, we've got Amy, we've got Justin, we've got Darren, who will be in talking all things local theatre and their forthcoming production. So if you've got any questions, do drop us a line. You can email me, radio@phoenixfm.com, on all your social medias, The Weekend Wind Up on Instagram. What am I on Twitter? I'm on That Spin Phoenix on Twitter. So drop us a line if you've got any questions for the guys, or if you want to WhatsApp the studio, you know the number. Send a message in. I'll read it out to you. But we will be with you in about 10 minutes after the news. You take care.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM. News.
From the Sky News Centre at 1, the Home Secretary says security measures will be put in place to ensure MPs can continue to meet people safely following Sir David Amos's killing. The 69-year-old Tory was stabbed while meeting constituents in Leon C yesterday. Boris Johnson and Sir Keir Starmer have visited the Essex town to pay their respects. These women who live locally are in shock.
Absolute, total and utter shock. It's very, very scary.
To think this has happened on our doorstep. Don't understand it. I just can't get my head around it.
Meanwhile, Priti Patel has asked all forces to review security arrangements for MPs. Former Metropolitan Police Chief Superintendent Dal Babu says, as it stands, that's not a priority in local surgery meetings.
The security is remarkably relaxed. Sometimes those surgeries, as in this case with Sir David, sometimes the surgeries are held in other buildings, for example, churches, which is to increase accessibility, but the security would be even less than there is in the constituency office.
A man's been questioned on suspicion of murder. In other news, Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe's apparently lost her latest appeal in Iran, meaning she could be sent back to prison at any time. Her MP says the charity's workers' one-year sentence has been upheld with no court hearing. In sport, Liverpool are trying to move to the top of the Premier League with a victory at Watford in Claudio Ranieri's first game as manager. Live to Nigel Bidmead at Vicarage Road.
31 minutes played, Liverpool lead 1-0. The visitors ahead in the ninth minute. An exquisite pass from Mo Salah found Sadio Mane, who scored with a low first-time finish. Salah has also been denied twice by Ben Foster in the Watford goal. Claudio Ranieri's first game in charge of Watford not going well. It's so one-sided, it's embarrassing. Watford 0, Liverpool 1.
Later, champions Manchester City host Burnley, while Manchester United go to Leicester. And a lucky ticket holder in France has scooped a record-breaking EuroMillions jackpot. The prize was worth £184 million. That's the latest. I'm Emily Hume.
This is Phoenix FM. On 98FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Okay, so you don't need me to tell you, it's rather rainy and grey today and it's going to remain like that until tea time, but it will brighten up slightly around 5, 6 o'clock-ish, but it should still feel quite mild, coming at 15 degrees, and tonight, dry with light winds, clear spells with a low patchy mist coming in around dawn time, average temperature 9 degrees, and tomorrow is going to be pretty good actually. Dry with sunny spells, cloud increasing around tea time. Temperature tomorrow of 18 degrees, so pretty warm actually for this time of year. But stick with us at Phoenix, we'll keep you updated on your weather each and every hour.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Well, we kick off the second hour of this. My guest will be with us after this, so stay tuned.
Different faces.
Go, Danny Minogue there, Dead or Alive, Begin to Spin Me Round. So I am really thrilled to welcome my guest into the studio today. So I am joined by Amy, by Justin and by Darren from Early Doors Productions, who are going to be here to talk about their forthcoming production of Sleepy Hollow, but also local theatre, the importance of it, and the kind of a bit more about themselves. So guys, welcome to the studio.
Hi, how
Hello.
Are you?
Good to have you in. Thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks for having us. It's been great to actually see real people.
Indeed. You know, you're. I think you're the first guest I've had in for over a year.
Woohoo.
I know. It's as we attempt to get back to normal. And so before we kick off, tell us a bit about yourself.
I'm Amy Clayton. I'm the producer and primary director for Early Doors Productions, which has been running for about 11 years now.
Hello, I'm Justin, and I'm just an actor.
Don't put Just in front of that. He makes the tea occasionally as well.
Can I just say, if anyone's on Twitter, you would recognise Justin if you saw him, because you played Alfie, didn't you? And you were everywhere on Twitter.
Yeah.
Those promos about Alfie were good.
Yeah, it was a great part.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed playing it.
Yeah.
He says that now.
But at the time.
Yeah, at the time.
Was you director for that as well?
I was, oh. Yeah.
Yeah, but those promos were really good. Really good.
Thank
and Darren?
Yeah, I'm an actor with EDP as well. I've been working with them for about 8 years now.
Brilliant. So we're here today to talk about Sleepy Hollow, which we'll get onto in a moment. But tell us a bit more about Early Doors.
So Early Doors started, as I say, about 11 years ago. I was working with a guy called Martin Harris with another company, the Brentwood Operatic Society, on The Full Monty. It was my first directional debut for them, and he approached me just because I think he liked the way I worked. He could see that there was potentially more potential there, and he knew I didn't really have the means to make something happen. So he said to me, would you be interested in starting your own group? And I said, well, very much so, but I'm not too sure that's financially viable. And he bankrolled it and got it started, and then very much handed it over and has said, have fun. And I've been having fun for the last 11 years.
How have you you guys particularly found this? Obviously the past 18 months actually, but the past year everything's closed down, and particularly productions and things like that. How have you kind of, have you kept the engagement with the group, and how have you kept it, like, the energy going?
Well, obviously, WhatsApp was always very good at, and Zoom. You know, suddenly no one had ever heard of Zoom, and now everybody's on it. I think probably for a lot of us, where we was doing four or five shows, not just with EDP, but with other companies, I think when the lockdown happened, it was actually quite nice. we haven't got to go out. We're just going to stay in the garden and have a cup of coffee.
I think the last time you come in here actually was about 18 months ago. And I think at the time, between three of you, you were involved with three shows, I think it was. And it was like hats on, hats off. And it was just, crazy.
I think, would that have been Clockwork Orange?
Yes,
possibly?
It would. Yeah, it would.
Yeah, so we finished Clockwork Orange on the Saturday. And I think it was the Tuesday after that we went into lockdown.
Oh, wow.
And what was, I mean, we still talk about it now, but it was funny that when we was in the theatre, someone would turn up, perhaps with a cough, and you was going, "Oh, you've got COVID," and it was this bizarre thing where all of a sudden, it's still then, although you knew that some people had bought tickets but weren't turning up because they're a little bit worried about it, I still think there was that element of, it's not really going to affect us.
Well, I came to see Clockwork, could you kindly I came on Thursday, I think it was, from memory. And it was busy then, but you were right about the coughing. People coughed and you were kind of edging away. You were edging away slightly,
But yeah, there was definitely this kind of assumption that, not that it was being blown out of proportion, but nobody knew enough about it to go, this is really serious.
It
it was something happening somewhere else. So yeah, when the lockdown came literally the following Tuesday, we thought, well, A, how lucky were we to get that show out of the way? But also we wanted to put things in place because we didn't want our actors to get bored. You never want actors to get lazy. And equally, we didn't want our audiences to forget that theatre is so important, so important. I'm fairly confident that whoever got stuck at home, Netflix and the like was their saviour. The arts, anything creative, it's what kept people alive. So we were very keen to keep things going.
Yeah, I mean, we probably didn't do too much of it, but one of the guys who's in this, Neil Gray, Darren will be able to tell you more than me, but he's constantly writing plays. And throughout lockdown, he was getting actors that he knew almost weekly to film them, and then a week after that he was putting them online. I think other companies were doing it and
as like a recorded read.
And that kept theatre engagement for the actors but also for an audience. I think Darren, you can talk more about that.
Yeah, no, just getting together like you say once a week, seeing people, being able to talk about how things are at the moment, the sort of situation that you're in, and then sitting back and reading through a great play and miraculously with no rehearsal, and then Neil would just press record and send it out into the world. The epitome of the one take wonder. It had to be because there were no edits.
There's no hiding, is there?
No.
And I think one of the things with the pandemic, I don't know if you watch, but obviously I think they didn't do it towards the latter stages, but on things like YouTube they had the live feeds, didn't they, from theatre shows like One Man, Two Governors, and the interest in that, everyone was talking about it, and it really kind of drove home to me the importance of theatre. And I had a conversation, we had a telephone interview with some people. They are trying to close down a local theatre in Thurrock, which is the Thameside Theatre. And it's a really strong campaign to support the theatre and everything, and you forget just exactly what a theatre is. It's not just a venue to go and see a show. It's a community thing. It's kind of it's a social thing. It's a place of learning. For me, it's a place of learning because you learn from a production, but people that are in productions learn social skills. They learn working hard. They learn discipline. They learn direction, don't they? So
absolutely,
it's such a big picture.
Good exercise. It really is. It keeps you so active.
Right. In terms of a community side of it, or just, I can't think of any other business or walk of life where you could have, like in Sleepy, we've got a young lad called Jack who's 15. Alan, he's probably our oldest statesman in the play. But they will sit and have a chat, and it's not a case of that you've got someone talking down to someone because he's perhaps been on stage longer. It's a chat of equals. You know, the blind casting, what you have,
there's no barriers, are there?
Yeah. Absolutely, and it's a wonderful thing when you go into a theatre and you're going to see something on stage, knowing that play, that bit of theatre, will only work if everybody on that stage is pulling in the same way. If they are a genuine team, and there's not many other hobbies or walks of life where that happens, and
not with that age spectrum, definitely not.
No, and also as well with a theatre, you go into a production and you go into it, and that is. This sounds a bit cliched. I don't mean it to be, but you go in there and it's a safe space for you to go, actually, I'm leaving all the rubbish outside the door and I'm going in, and for 2 hours I'm going to be entertained, and or I'm going to be scared or excited, or, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. In some way moved.
That's right. It's just about kind of, it just takes you somewhere else away from day-to-day life, doesn't it? And that's why I cannot stress how important the local theatre is. Yeah, it is.
You're saying about education, of course. I mean, if you go to see To Kill a Mockingbird or something, where that play could probably educate people more than what a politician is trying to be politically correct in what they're talking. If you go to see the right piece of theatre that's actually forcing you to ask those questions about yourself, then you come away from it, you say, being educated.
Yeah. It's because what theatre and other forms of storytelling do is they build on the human need to develop empathy. So you can have a really hard-hitting issue, but because you empathise with those characters, you're more likely to understand, take on different points of view. And that's something that storytelling, whether that's through literature, whether that's through plays, whether that's through film and TV, it allows you that movement into somebody else's shoes and somebody else's point of view. And as you say, that's learning, that's socialising, that's forming connections.
Yeah, I know someone who is, they're fortunate enough that they're in the chorus of Wicked. And when Wicked reopened, and I was talking to her, and she said, you know, everyone was crying and whatever. And I said, well, all the cast? And she said, no, we saw the audience crying because they'd gone out for the first time in so long, and they're now with other people in a theatre.
Yep.
And it was kind of just that emotive thing of actually realising just how important this is.
Yep, I had my first experience back at the West End last weekend and saw Anne Juliet. Wasn't too sure what to expect, knew roughly what the play was about.
Was it good?
Oh, fabulous. Oh, right. Yep. And I wasn't expecting this to be as good as it was, actually. Yep. But yeah, I was very... But exactly that, moved. Like, to the point where I was like, I'm not too sure why I'm crying, but the joy...
It's so random,
of just
isn't it?
The emotion, the energy, everything that was emanating from that stage, I was like, this is bliss, absolute bliss, and I'm so pleased it's back.
So what's your approach to putting on a production thing, be it Sleepy Hollow or any other production? What's your approach to taking that from the page to actually delivering it on the screen? Kind of, do you have a standard process, you know, that you would go through for kind of doing it, or are you flexible with your approach for each production?
I'm flexible with my approach, but it has to move me from page one. If I read a couple of pages and I've got no ideas, I can't visualise a set, I can't visualise how I'd roughly cast it, I can't visualise what I want the people to do, it's obviously not something that I should direct. Yeah. Doesn't mean I don't enjoy the play, I might want to be in it, but yeah, in terms of actually running something, if I can get through the first page and go, I know what I need this to look like, I know how much energy and time this is going to take, I can visually see where things need to move to, then I'm quite happy to apply every waking hour to it.
And as a director, what is important? Actually, I will pitch this to all three of you, but as a director first of all, but then as performers, what do you think are the key components for getting something onto a stage, a successful show?
Organisation, massively. I think if you can stay organised, give yourself a good plan, a good budget, and you try not to deviate from that too much. Obviously, things do come up that change that, but you have to be very driven, very energetic, and very, very focused. The actor's viewpoint for the next 6 weeks or however long you're going to rehearse. So unless you're engaged, unless you're passionate, unless you're pushing them, where's their energy coming from? So, yeah, focus, organisation, good communication.
And as actors, what gets you onto a stage? And I know that's probably a tricky question because you don't think about it. You just, as actors, you just do it, don't you? But kind of what makes a good production for you?
Yeah, there's a couple of elements. One of them is building on from what Amy said, because she's talked about, you know, when she reads a script, whether she's going to direct it or not, is having that vision in her mind of what it's going to look like on the stage. Similarly, from an actor's point of view, I'm looking for a director that has that vision, that you go along to rehearsals, you go along to the first read-through, and you know, okay, yeah, this director seems really passionate, they've got a clear vision, a clear direction, a clear tone that they're going for, and I can see the way in which I can contribute to that. So there's that, working with a director that's got that vision. And then it's your connection with the other actors. That's what gets me, you know, turning up to rehearsals however many nights a week, turning up at the theatre every night for the week of the show. It's the connection that you've got with that cast, because you were talking about the role of theatre earlier within that wider community, but it's the community of actors on the stage, and you have to be that community, that group, because you're completely in each other's hands. There is no safety net except your fellow actors. So I think it's that connection with the cast that really gets me onto the stage each time.
And Justin, how do you kind of, so we mentioned Alfie earlier, so Alfie being the lead role, how do you switch off a production and go into the next one?
I think that's really difficult. I think luckily enough with Ichabod compared to Alfie, they are hugely different characters, so I suppose that makes it easy. I don't know whether I do always switch off to some degree. I mean, when we did Alfie first in May and then we did it again at Brentwood a couple of months back, and I think Amy had to put up with Alfie for a year. You know, it was...
Amy's nodding.
You know, what I was saying, the character was, and myself were... Apart from some of the more nasty side of Alfie, which hopefully I wasn't. I think it's the same with Ichabod. There's probably things now that are starting to come through that I think sometimes when I've finished a play or a character, they don't always go. There's bits of them. I don't think I laugh like that until I did the Mad Hatter. I don't think I do fully switch off. I think it just suddenly means that the next character that comes along is a greater amalgamation of everything else.
Yeah, it just builds up, I suppose, doesn't it? So, Sleepy Hollow, now this is an interesting choice for a production. It really is. How did it come about?
Well, big fans of the film. Had read the book also, the short story, Washington Irving's short story. Oh, it's fab. I mean, I'm a big fan of Halloween anyway, so I like doing a little gothic horror. So we've done Jekyll and Hyde, we've done Dracula, Frankenstein, and when this came to light and was available, I thought, oh, this is definitely an EDP show. So yeah, we're really excited about bringing this one to life. And it's a different kind of horror because, yes, there's mild threat, but there's a lot of humour. And people that have seen the film will know that there's a joy in it. It's a suspend your disbeliefs. Come and have some fun with us for an hour and a half, and we'll try and make you smile.
It's a very tongue-in-cheek horror, isn't it?
Absolutely is. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think it's a sort of production, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but it is a family production. You kind of, obviously, you need to be aware that there is, you know, that threat of horror, etc. But it is a production, I think, that anyone can kind of watch.
Absolutely. I mean, there's some severed heads, but...
Why not?
You know,
a little
they're
bit
pretty
of death.
Ones.
That's not...
And what has been the challenge to bring this to life?
Wow. How long is your show? we've had a few set challenges, like the Tree of the Dead and the horse. And lighting cues are going to be very, very important. Sound effects. All of the technical issues that we don't really get to play with until the week of the show, which is always a bit daunting for my actors. The physicalities of the fight scenes, the actual decapitations and how the horseman... gets everybody. But not only that, moving the play around, the scenes are quite quickly interchangeable from one thing to another, and you don't want set coming off constantly because it's going to drive the audience crazy. So I had to be quite clever with the way I wanted the space used and how lighting was going to be very specific, and this is now the study, this is now the kitchen. But for the actors to visualise that, I can't get them in my head. I can draw them all the pictures all day long to explain what I mean, but until we actually get there and they go, oh, we get it now, there's a staircase here. it's going to be an interesting week for sure.
Okay, more from the guys after this.
At Brentwood Care Centre, we understand that looking after your loved ones requires a superhero effort. We are passionate about delivering high-quality care, and therefore we have a team of heroes to ensure your loved one is in safe hands. To find out more about our residential, dementia and nursing care services, call us on Brentwood 508 459 or visit our website rchcarehomes.co.uk. Brentwood Care Centre, where our family cares for your family.
Going into foster care was really scary, but looking back now, that was the best thing for me. I remember sitting at the dining room table and feeling, wow, this is what family is. And my foster mum worked on my confidence and made me believe that I could achieve. Within the space of 5 years, I was climbing mountains in Ecuador. I went to uni, I've got my own home, a little baby, my son, and feel like I've accomplished everything that I want.
Foster with Essex County Council and help children reach their potential. Join our virtual event. Visit essex.gov.uk/fostering or call 0800 801 530 to find out more.
Aye, be warned. My name's Captain Cyber and I'm here to steal your business data. Ha ha! Nothing can stop Captain Cyber and me, Buccaneers!
Ahoy there!
Well, I've contacted Outside Help.
Blow me down!
They helped me protect my business before any cyber attacks occurred. So scallywag pirates like Captain Cyber have got no chance.
Shiver me timbers!
Thank you.
There we go, propaganda there, way back 1986 with Jules. So welcome back to my guest, Amy, Justin, Darren from Early Doors, and we are talking all things Sleepy Hollow, the production coming up. So guys, welcome back, and I just want to talk through, so for those people who haven't seen Sleepy Hollow, what's it about?
Yeah, so it's this amazing gothic horror, originally written back in, I think, nearly just over 200 years ago by Washington Irving, but obviously adapted many times for the screen and for the stage since then. So this particular version takes place in this sleepy little isolated town, Sleepy Hollow, somewhere in New England at around about 1799. And lots of mysterious and rather gruesome murders have been taking place. Decapitated bodies have been found. And so police constable and detective Ichabod Crane is sent to this town from New York to try and uncover who is behind these particular murders, but immediately comes into some sort of conflict with the people of the town, because he is very rational, scientifically minded, whereas the people of the town are very superstitious and are convinced it is this headless horseman rising from the grave, taking these heads, which he doesn't believe a word of. So there's immediately this conflict between the people in the town and this police constable that's come in, except simultaneously he strikes up a burgeoning relationship with young Katrina, the heiress of one of the richest families in the town, which adds further complications, and it becomes clear that not all is as it seems, and clearly nearly everybody in this town has a deep, dark secret. And so he starts digging away and uncovering and trying to solve this particular plot.
And Justin, what character do you play in the production?
Ichabod Crane. So it's, yeah, it's got, I was enthralled with that.
You both had a look about you. He's like, he does know what we're doing.
Yes, so that's what it's about. Yeah, I don't know.
I'm
going to
buy a ticket.
He's almost like two fingers up. I told you, I know what we're doing. See, look. That shocked you, didn't it? So one of the things I think that makes Early Doors stand out from other companies, and there are lots and lots of good production companies around, is the fact that your show choices are always different and like unusual, like ones you wouldn't expect, you know, because I think, and there's absolutely a place for this, but I think you always see the Olivers being done and you always see the Annies being done, and there is a place for that, absolutely. But I think one of the things that makes you guys stand out is you always pick productions that you think, oh, I didn't see that coming. It's from the left field.
Sure, and I'm glad you said that, actually, because that's kind of what we aim for. Exactly that. We've seen many very, very good theatre companies in the area who do fantastic work.
Absolutely.
But we didn't see the point in creating a new company that does the same thing again, because, you know, you want to mix it up for your audiences. So, we're big film fans, so I try and have a film element with our choices, and I definitely like to do the ones, as you say, that are probably others that might go, that's going to be a bit difficult. Maybe we're not ready for that challenge. And I'm like, bring it on.
So excuse my ignorance, with Sleepy Hollow, was it already scripted or did you script it from the film?
No, it's always scripted.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it put on anywhere else.
Funnily enough, I think there's a version going on into London next year.
Oh, is there?
There is, yeah. So very lucky that we got it, to be fair.
Yeah, there's some really different shows coming into London next year.
Yeah,
you've seen there's some really good ones and ones you wouldn't expect. So tell us about, obviously, we know about the production. Where can people see it? What dates are we performing?
It's at the Brentwood Theatre over Halloween. What better time?
There's absolutely
blood, bodies, limbs, pumpkins, witches. It's perfect for Halloween. You have to come. It's the 28th to the 30th at 8 p.m. There are tickets from £13, and you can get them direct from the theatre online or at their box office, which is 01277 200305. If you want to give us a contact, you can get us on social media, so we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, but if you want to email us, we're on early.doors@hotmail.co.uk, and we can give you all of that information from there.
Yeah, I mean, all this information will be on my show page and on our website at the end of today as well, with a recording of today, so you can check it out, and so stay tuned for that. So what's, I think obviously each production comes along and you're focused on that, and then the minute it finishes you're thinking about the next thing. What is coming up for Early Doors after this?
Well, in March we have Clue, and in May we have Shakespeare in Love.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, very excited about that. Clue, another one of my favourite movies of all time. Been after the rights for that forever. So, very excited about finally having that one to do. And Shakespeare in Love is it's just going to be a dream, right? Summertime bliss, that's going to be.
How amazing.
Absolutely.
And are they at the Brentwood Theatre as well?
They are both at the Brentwood Theatre as well, yeah.
And how do you go about casting in production? So, Early Doors, is it an evolving kind of cast? So do people join and then leave, or is it the same core group of actors? Or
I do have a core group of actors, but it doesn't necessarily mean I'm always going to use them. I fortunately know very, very talented people, and sometimes there just isn't room for everybody. Yeah. However, I always encourage new people. As I say, we've got Jack, who we've never worked with before, a guy called Colin Richardson, who I've seen in the area and I was very keen to work with, and I knew he'd be perfect for a role in Sleepy Hollow, so I approached him. But if anyone's interested, we don't really have a membership, there's no joining fee, but I'm a bit of a vampire, I do like new blood, so if you're interested, get in touch. But equally, as I say, we have the likes of Justin, Darren, Nicole, Jen, Julie, Laura. Honestly, the list is endless. They're really good guys, and if I can get them into the show, I 100% will.
And how does it work? Do you kind of... do you just all come together when there's a production? Obviously, well, mind you, there's no break in productions because you're constantly... I'm answering that myself as I'm saying that. So I was going to say, do you meet and then like not get together and only when a production happens? But because you've got such a catalogue coming up. So.
Yeah, it seems to be quite constant, and especially for poor Jaron, who's... he's quite a catch for many companies. So next year he's got Roxy on top of Shakespeare in Love, and he's the lead in both. So that'll be a busy time for him.
Yeah, looking forward to next spring. I'll sleep in the summer. The summer when I'll be resting.
Sleep's overrated. Yeah. It really is.
Sleep when you're dead. Exactly.
So this is, might be sounding a slightly tricky question. Why do you do what you do?
I ask myself that sometimes. I love... In retrospect, what we've achieved. The achievement is phenomenal. The achievement of the team, the fact that I can get this talented group of people together and hopefully push them to another level, it's just joyful. Really, really joyful. Yes, it's stressful. It is blood, sweat and tears from start to end. But when I reflect back on some of the things we have done, even then I look and think, how did we do that? How did we do that? And that's an amazing thing. I always want to push boundaries, and hopefully that's what I'm doing.
Justin, what about you?
Well, as Sam said, it's difficult. I mean, you're an actor as well, so I think you know it's that almost... It's that thing you can't quite touch, you can't quite understand why you want to do it.
If you could explain it, it'd be so much easier, wouldn't it? It's the weirdest thing, yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, when you finish a performance, whether you're fortunate enough to play Alfie or whether you're man at the back with spear, quite often, you know, whatever it is, once you finish that performance, you get that reaction from an audience. If you're lucky throughout a play, if it's a comedy, and you might get a reaction, and there's just an energy, there's a buzz that
it's like a drug, isn't it?
Yeah, it penetrates you, and you think, wow, I can't wait for the next one. And then you add on to that what Darren was saying about the actors you work with, that bond, that trust you have with these people. The friendships that I should imagine all of us have made in theatres, they're a friendship that are probably stronger than any other friendship you'll ever have, and it is indescribable what a wonderful feeling it is to be on stage. So that's obviously why we all do it.
Yeah.
So all four of us in this room, why we want to act. But if someone hasn't done it, it is impossible to say how good a good performance is.
Yeah. You know what drives me absolutely mad? It is snobbery in theatre. And by that I mean, so I was having a conversation with somebody who is doing Panto this year. And they were saying that they were talking to a theatre director, and the theatre director had said to them, isn't it a bit beneath you? Panto. And I'm like, pantomime is the hardest.
Panto is so hard.
Like two or three shows a day, you're running across. You know, last time I did panto, I was the dame, and getting into that god awful thing with you know, an hour before we wanted to go on, and sweating and running and running.
Yeah.
Three shows a day. And a snobbery in theatre drives me mad.
Yeah.
Because a production, the people pay money to see a production, and they deserve, no matter what that production is, just the best you can be.
Absolutely. And with that sort of mindset, are you saying that there's no place for a film such as The English Patient versus Two-Headed Shark? No, of course, you're there for everybody. We're facilitating audiences' needs, and everyone has something different that entertains them. So there is no one better than the other.
And absolutely. I think it's lovely to hear with local theatre, because I think, you know, people, snobbery can creep in. It drives me mad. Because some local theatre... surpasses some of the shows at the big money thrown at it. It really does, and it drives me mad. And just to finish off, so as a leading man, so you're talking about you coming up next year with the production you're leading, do you feel responsibility being a leading man in a show?
I think it does come with a certain amount of responsibility. I think ultimately though it's still part of being that member of the team. But yes, you naturally feel a bit more pressure, like, oh God, I don't want to let everybody down. You're probably on stage a little bit more often. But ultimately, you've got that same trust in the other actors. You know, if you slip, somebody's going to be there to catch you. And just the same as if you're in only one scene, well, in that one scene, you're equally as important to the story that you're telling as the person that's the lead. And it's just reminding yourself of that fact now and again and trying not to feel quite as much pressure.
Yeah.
Apart from the line learning, that's still quite a lot of pressure.
And your director looking at you.
Yeah,
saying,
absolutely.
Have you learnt that? Yeah, exactly. So just to recap, details once again of the show. So it's on the 28th to the 30th.
Correct.
Brentwood Theatre.
Correct.
Tickets available from the Brentwood Theatre box office.
They are.
And where can we find you on social media?
You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or early.doors@hotmail.co.uk.
And as I said, they will be on my show page later on today with a recording of this, so feel free to share. Please book your tickets. It's a perfect half-term escape at really reasonable prices. So check out the guys. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you
really
so much for having us.
Really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
And I look forward to speaking to you next time with the next show.
Brilliant.
Okay. Yeah. Are we about to get it just a little hot and sweaty in this? Ooh.
Baby.
Ladies, let's go. Soldiers, let's
Dolls.
Go. Let me talk to y'all and just, give you a little situation. Listen. You see the get hot every time I come through. When I step up in the spot, make the place sizzle like a summertime cookout. Proud for the best chick. Yes, I'm on the lookout. So banging, shorty like a belly dancer with it. Smell good, pretty skin, so gangster with it. No tricks, only diamonds under my sleeve. Give me the number, but make sure you holler before you leave.
I know you like me.
I know you like me.
I know you do.
I know you do.
That's why whenever I come around, she's all over you. And I know you want it.
I know you want it.
It's easy to see.
It's easy to see.
And in the back of your mind, I know you should be home with me. Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me? Don't you? Don't you? Don't you wish your girlfriend was raw like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like me? Don't you? Don't you? Fight the feeling.
Leave it alone.
Cause if it ain't love, it just ain't enough to leave a happy home.
Let's keep it friendly.
You have to play fair. See, I don't care, but I know she ain't gonna want to share. Don't you wish your girlfriend was raw like me?
Raw.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was fun like me?
Big fun.
Don't you?
Okay, I see how it's going down.
Don't you?
Seem like shorty want a little menage to pop off or something.
Let's go.
Well, let me get straight to it. A broad won't watch it. When I come through, it's the God Almighty looking all brand new. A shorty wanna jump in my Aston Van Jewish. Looking at me all like you really wanna do it. Try to put it on me till my black and bluish. You wanna play with a player girl and play on. Trip out the Chanel and leave the lingerie on. Watch me and I'ma watch you at the same time. Looking like you won't break my back. You're the very reason why I keep a pack of the Magnum. And with the wagon, hit you in the back of the Magnum. For the record, don't think it was something you did. Shorty all on me cause it's hard to resist the kid. I got an idea that's dope for y'all as y'all can get caught. I can hit the boat for y'all, don't worry
about
it.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like me?
Like me.
Don't you? Don't you, baby?
Don't you?
Alright, sing. Don't you wish your girlfriend was raw like me?
Raw.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was.
There we go, Bananarama, Cruel Summer. So I really hope you enjoyed the interview today with Early Doors. And thanks to people messaging in. So Mr. Quincy messaged in asking about the forthcoming production of Clue. So which ending are you going to use? And I spoke to the guys, and that's going to be a surprise. You'll have to go and see it to find out, they said, which is a great answer, isn't it? So, it's really good to talk to local people about quality local theatre, and the importance of it is just, you cannot underestimate it, you really can't. So hope you enjoyed that, and as I said, that will be available on my show page on the website by the end of today.
Hutton View Care Home is now open. Alongside the highest standards of residential and dementia care, residents can also enjoy our range of inclusive services and varied dining options as part of our wellbeing programme. See for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home. Hutton View, a Hallmark care home.
Lingua Madre, the third volume of Bruno Pignacello's trilogy, entirely dedicated to the artist's Italian roots, is now available on all streaming platforms. Support this multifaceted singer of life by liking, subscribing to his YouTube channel, or sharing his music with your contacts. Also, don't forget to listen to Over the Horizon, the surprising album by Bruno, with songs sung in English, Portuguese, and Italian. Music has never been so close to the soul.
These days, sustainable business really does make sense. Ensuring your business is running as efficiently as possible, saving money on energy bills, lowering its carbon footprint. It's a great place to start. And if we told you your business could qualify for a low-case grant of up to £10,000 without payback to help it grow and grow greener, would you want to miss out? Register your business interest today. www.lowcase.co.uk. Grant funding for greener business growth.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Okay, so a bit later than normally planned. I do apologise, but it's now time for today's cover from another. So I've picked just a very beautiful classic song, and the cover version is not who you think it's going to be. So do let me know which one you prefer. Email me, radio@phoenixfm.com. Feel my love. There we go. Today's cover from another, which was obviously Make You Feel My Love, the original by Mr. Bob Dylan himself. But then the cover version, I think you might have been expecting me to play Adele, but no, I played Lea Michele from an episode of Glee. And I think that version's beautiful. It often gets overlooked, but I like that version. It's a lot more stripped back, a lot more simple. But do let me know which one you prefer. Now, I know if I'd have put Adele on, especially at the moment, obviously with the new Adele single, everyone's raving about Adele and her version is great, but I just thought I'd mix it up a little bit. So do let me know which one you preferred, whether it would be the original by Mr. Bob Dylan or the cover version by Lea Michele and the Glee cast. Do get in touch. You can email me radio@phoenixfm.com or on social media and let me know which one you liked. Yeah, but a gorgeous, gorgeous piece of music, which I hope you enjoyed.
A while ago I heard the sound of children's laughter. Now it's quiet, so I guess they left the park. This wooden bench is getting harder by the hour. The sun is going down, it's getting dark. I realize I'm cold, the rain begins to pour as I watch the windows on the second floor. The lights are on, it's time to go. It's time at last to let him know. I would. When
on the hour across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.
From the Sky News Centre at 2, Boris Johnson.